Would you join me in a flag salute, please?
Working?
Yeah.
All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is a public meeting of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act and that the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, Express Times, Courier News, Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger. Could I have a roll call, please?
Sure. Councilman Strauss?
Here.
Councilman Kaczmanowski?
Here.
Councilwoman Slotnick?
Here.
Council President Malay?
Here.
Mayor Higgins?
Here. Thank you. First item tonight would be the approval of the regular session meeting minutes from December 12 of 18. Are there any comments or edits or corrections?
I don't know.
I'll make the motion to approve. All those, we don't need a voice. All those in favor?
I do have a statement from December 12.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining?
Abstaining.
There you go. Thank you. Next item is the reorg regular meeting minutes from January 2 of 2019. Any more comments or edits?
Nope.
Okay, I'll make the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you. And the regular session meeting minutes from January 23rd. Boy, this lady is right on it. She's caught up. Again, any questions, comments, or edits?
I'll make the motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? All right. Finally, we're down to the executive session meeting minutes, also from January 23rd, which are short and sweet. And comments? Edits? Can I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you. We've passed them down to the right. We'll give them the follow-up. Thank you. And we all know what the consent agenda is, and in any case, there's only one item on there tonight, so which is the annual school tax deferral update. Since the budget changes and we're allowed to defer up to 50% of the school tax, we need to make a motion every year to bring us up to the 50% because the dollar value does change.
And it's required, as I understand it, to be in compliance for our annual financial
correct. Questions or?
Yeah, just one, if I could.
What, sure. By statute, the township is allowed to defer. It's kind of a strange thing, Mark. I don't know, when you go all the way back in time, how the taxes were collected early, but we collect school taxes 6 months ahead of time because the two fiscal years are offset by about 6 months. So as a consequence, we're allowed to defer or retain 6 months basically in our bank account to be paid out eventually to the school district. And since each year, it's 50%, it's 6 months, and like I said, each year the budget changes, so we typically once a year, basically always once a year, update it to reflect the typically higher budget number, and we take 50% of that. So that's why we're doing this.
State statute.
Correct.
Well, it's permitted by state statute.
Right.
Correct.
It's not the
fee.
You don't have to.
Not required to. But given how much of the reserve or the deferred school taxes we've spent over the years, it's a very wise thing to do this year.
Pretty standard.
Yeah. That's about it, really.
The townships are doing it for everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And as Brian said, it's you've got to act once a year anyway to close the books.
If there's a change, and
Yeah, and by passing this, doesn't require us to withhold.
That's correct.
That's an important.
Well, it doesn't require us to spend it all, but it does, if we do keep it in the piggy bank now. All right. I'll make the motion. May I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Okay. And a roll call.
Councilman Strauss.
Yes.
Councilman Kuchnowski.
Yes.
Councilwoman Switley.
Yes.
Council President Malloy.
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
Yes, thank you. And we're now at the public comment. There's only one member of the public here, and I think Les is going to have some comments when we get to his part of the agenda, the work session. So if that's okay with our public, we'll move on to reports.
All right. Last Thursday, I attended the Environmental Commission meeting here, and Les was there as well on behalf of Open Space. I think it was a productive meeting. It's what we talked about, many of the other, they kind of overlap, like you said.
Very much so.
So it was good. Talked about some issues up on Echo Lane, the new rain tax that Governor Murphy is sitting on his desk to be signed. The stream cleanup that's coming up, several folks registered to be a part of that on April 13th. Deer management program was discussed. We have a tree planting on May 18th over by Hamden Road. It's actually a county property that we'll be doing this on. The trees were ordered, I think, today by one of the members, Carol Nemitz. And the discussion about the Windy Acres trails and everyone looking forward to working with Open Space to get those up and running for the public. And Jess and I took a ride last week and a half ago now. I think it was actually before our banquet. So. And then over there, and they were just grading out the bridge, so it looks good. I think it would be a good addition to the parks and open space in the township.
Terrific, thank you.
School board was the strategic meeting. It was 1-3. It was on the 31st of January. It was basically a work session into four groups, and then everyone discussed their ideas and whatnot. And obviously, there's a lot of passion about achievement and success in the school district, which we're all on board with. And they broke off into a business meeting, talked about strategic planning goals, the school closing for the flu during that four-day period, discussed some inclement weather closings, and thanked the custodial staff for their cleaning of all four buildings. So, next one is scheduled for February 12th. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Planning board, not much happened. We did have a little bit of a screw up with the date where we were all supposed to go to the Exxon. And we all thought it was March 9th, but it wasn't. It was February 9th. I guess we called Captain Sine that morning and said, "Where are you guys?" You know, so the message went out to us. Somehow the communication got screwed up. Kevin got in the car and went. It really was just a survey from the road,
yeah.
Sand Hill Road, to see if the landscaping buffers put in were sufficient. And apparently they are. I drove down Sand Hill Road today. Nothing looked new to me, so that means I can't see the new stuff. That's simple. That's my report.
Thank you.
North Rogie's board head meeting is on Tuesday. Public hearing on that agenda is for the assistant contracts, assistant superintendent and school business administrator. It's on the last agenda, so I don't know why we moved to this one. But anyway, I'll go to that. Eric Eisenhart from Productivity sent a message to me. He was interested in doing a 5K over on the trails over here. So we're back and forth. Jesse, as far as certificate of insurance and things like that, it's going to be Easter Sunday. I said I was going to volunteer until I found out it started 5 a.m. 5 to 7, they're going to take care of all the cookware, potty, things like that. North is going to be the parking. And the little hiccup we had with running of the lines is the closing of the road. And Jesse and I talked, I think we're going to be really using Regional Road Easter Sunday, so perhaps North could. Did they approve it? Did they say okay?
We talked about it.
To use North.
We're just going to go to this property.
Yeah. Your property.
Yeah. And they
Yeah, the smart ones are doing that last time.
Right. So that was the only thing I thought about. But I'll do like a social media blast about that. I have to say I'm very happy with the relationship that Pitt Township has with our activity, other businesses, and especially North, because it literally just took phone calls and emails, and great things can happen, so I'm really proud of that. Let's see. I just booked like Lady Acres. I also went to see a temporary bridge, and I looked at the buildings to be demoed and the building to be saved, and I did like a little social media blast on that, and out of all the posts I've ever done on my council woman's page, I had like over 1,000 views. So people are really stoked.
Wow.
Like really excited. Also, a couple people who grew up on that farm, a girl that actually took swimming lessons in that pool. So it was, but you know, I might meet up with her and walk around and get a little history of it, because I think that's really cool. I was going to go, Andrew's going to be going over there with the drone to look at the property. I think he's going to look at the trails as well. I don't know if maybe someone environmental would like to come with me that time and maybe look at the trails as well when I go. You or whoever worked on the trails, just kind of tidying it up. And, plus, I want to do social media blast with that drone footage as well. And Historic met on February 6th. Two Boy Scouts attended. Most of the discussions were on Lady Acres, which I've talked about. And they're interested in the new vacant building ordinance. I think they want me to get a little more detail for them about specific houses. Like they know that some have been fined, some have been fixed a little. I think they want specifics. So. I told him that I'll work with Tom. He has a really nice table actually. And Jesse and the art department did a art switch out. So the rest of the building has been artwork from the students. They said maybe it will ask for that.
Looks good.
So thank you.
All right, thank you.
Is it all for sale?
It's all in the box. Upon request. Yeah.
See, Tom covered the planning board. I would just say that we did do a master plan consistency review for the ordinance that we'll be talking about later. Open space had a meeting and talked about the work session items coming up, but also getting together, say, a joint meeting with the environmental committee as well as open space and seeing if we can steal a there's an empty seat on open space from environmental, so we're going to see if we can steal somebody to from EC to sit into the open space seat and make sure we coordinate our activities, because like Mark said, there's a tremendous amount of overlap. And the other part of the meeting will be, you know, projects for the coming year, who's doing what, what locations. We also began, I think we have a meeting set at this point in time, to sit down with Harold Wilbert from Old Mountain Farm and the folks from Reddington. There's some kind of a land swap that Reddington would like to do with Harold. And our end of the conversation is going to be about beginning to line out a way to use Harold's property to enter Windy Acres from the east. It'll be no bridge required or anything of that sort. So that's going to take a while because of the easements over the land that he owns to access the place. But I think it's an effort well worth doing. And I think that covered open space, I think, pretty well. That's it for me.
All right, so Recreation Committee met last Monday. We had a pretty good discussion. They are preparing for Community Day, which is going to be April 27th, on the calendar. Always a really, really good event, free. They do a great job. I anticipate that will be the same this year. They've got, on June 15th, a food truck festival that they're working on planning. That will be from 3 to 7:30. They're working on getting beer, if they can, to the event. They're not so sure about wine because they're also beginning preparations for summer rec. They're starting to accept registrations. The price hasn't been raised in 5 years, so they're considering whether or not price increases is warranted. I know there is a price break if you're a resident versus if you're from outside of the township. So. And then the only other issue that probably didn't consume a good bit of discussion was some issues with scheduling time at the schools and a little bit of bump in the road. Tom was optimistic that that was getting better, so I have to keep an eye on it and verify that it is. And lastly but not least, there was a request that the shed that had been moved from the police station here over there, the Hillbox 9, bomb shelter.
Can I take the air to the...
You're going to paint it?
Yep.
And we're going to... You're going to leave it there or... Yeah, because apparently Jay had said something about you could scrap it.
Well, he's going to scrap
the air conditioning unit from that.
Okay.
He could leave the wood shed over there. Terrific. And then last week, the sewer authority met Thursday. They had their reorganization. They had the same leadership as years prior. So Steve Cronenhoek is the chair, Pete Geiger, the vice chair. Mostly routine business. There was a rate hearing for 2019. They set their connection fee, which is based on actual expenses over the years, including capital and debt service, etc. And that's going to be $2,918 this year. It's a statutory calculation, so they haven't set it just using this particular methodology. The annual user rate, as in the budget that was approved last year, did increase $10 a year, so the new rate is $510 for 2019. They utilized $91,000 in surplus to reduce their overall requirement to raise revenue via the rate. Their total budget is $1.3 million this year, a 2% increase over last year. And the biggest driver has been the increased cost in treatment expense paid to the town of Clinton, which has risen since 2008 by about 41%. That is by far, I think, their biggest cost element and the biggest driving factor for those rate increases. I think there was one a couple years ago as well. Base user fee is $87.76 this year. That's for reserve unused capacity. It's fairly new. They aren't made. Capacity requests, and they're going to have a cleaning and PB, and what they call it, but maintenance this year. They're going to scope out all the lines. So I think they've done that every couple of years. That would be good. And then they've got a maintenance proposal for their generators that'll take care of all the generators that they've got. And I didn't realize they have a shed in the vehicle stored over at DOT yard, the New Jersey State DOT yard on Beaver Avenue, that is in really bad shape. And the truck is awful. Nobody even wants to go in the truck. So they have an estimate to demolish the shed and to move the truck for about $7,000 to take them out. Interesting. That was it.
Well, thanks for the place then. The bridge is in Windy Acres. It was a great thing you did. It took a lot of money. I do like this way. Depending on the problem, it probably
will.
Bridge come to share out of my third in the schedule. I call Jay at 10:15, so I'll be right over to see what engine is coming. He comes off the truck, open it up, anchor it, they're done. So the bridge is moving years ago. That was...
When you say people are using it, everyday people or most of the people?
Okay.
Did we put a bollard up to keep the traffic going?
Eventually.
But we didn't go yet.
Because, what's my next thing here? We're going to start tearing up that old building. The rescue squad and the county technical rescue task force are going in to watch to cut a hole in one of the houses, put a car as a crash test dummy in there and practice getting them out. And demolish as they go, and then I go up there, and anybody wants to go tear up the other building, they'll be gone probably in April, all that stuff. The swimming pool is building, and then the next phase is the kind of thing that comes up and is supposed to go in. That's happening, but that should be done this year. Environmental is going to fly over, and we're going to have a ticket in October. Everything's cleaned up and done. I don't feel that's a hard one.
For who?
The public.
Oh, good.
get people out. It's busy already. There are people going in. I don't know how to tell them, getting the food break down. I don't know anybody. But anyway, it's good, and we're really going to hide you now. So we have to really be doing appropriation of the money that we have to do.
Ordinance resolution.
It could be. We have to get that one due.
Yeah.
So that's happening. Green Acres approved our open space recreation plan. We've been here and a half, that's a good thing. Tom did a great job, want to get it done. So Denise and I have been pushing Velocity for our funding. We always put in our Velocity for the region, basically for this one. Has been done. And the last couple of changes, we wanted to be, Tom did have to run a digitized map, which is going to have to talk to them. So that just got that done. So we should have an issue.
You know, if you would copy us, I know Open Space has been looking for one, and then I'm sure EC could use one as well.
Mary and I started budget reviews. Our budget's done, and very good production. Moratorium, we don't have any budget from the state, so we'll be ready for the function of the department, essentially, for budgets. People, Jay, right?
Everyone.
And fire.
Everyone.
So that's it. So we'll have that time. We'll go up and tax, save some money, find some money.
Schedule a financial.
And we'll have that. But I think when we get all the budget, get when we put it together, we'll have funding.
So, do we know yet how we did it for quotas?
Quotas.
Quotas?
Surplus balance. I don't know. 70. $8?
Yeah, it is.
It's been close.
I know.
We're still working to get ahead of our person to be paying with the school.
Yeah.
That, you should be open. You have to have one hand, and the problem will go down. Again, we have nothing in the state, nothing in the government. Cable franchise, still under review, but the next other cable from Comcast, I think we told them. I have a contract here that goes to highlights for police, FOP, and two FOP. You can go on over this every month for months. I agree to the highlights from our father. I sent the draft over to Steve, and I told him I'd get him rest of the stuff after. We go over, so we should be able to get that done. Sergeant Kleiner and K-9 Capco finished patrol school Friday and certified. I think they were out there and confirmed this should be out of the weekend. And they start training. He's doing very well. He's class leader. Plus, we got a five ball and badge and vest. So we got that in the world.
How's
he's
Tiger?
He's a police officer.
How's Tiger doing? Has the dog been kind to him lately?
Yeah, he lost his dog. He said, he put a little mix and stuff in the morning. All right. So he's a thinker. Yeah, they're doing very well. I think he's always doing better. He's the biggest threat. We have the other fun one. We talked about that 5 to 7 a.m. You're all waiting for traffic again. I won't be there. So that's good. So the police are going to do a private duty for police officers.
Okay.
So, I don't think they need trouble. Cell tower from PD Corp. Move. And they came in for their presence. That's a big step.
If we have to need that money.
So, my boss, you know, make sure they're not here for 4 days and drop them in. But that.
Yeah.
I mean, that will take long.
Yeah.
Good. Let's see if they start with them.
You know, you maybe think they're mounting the antennas on the one over on the, oh gosh, Petty Duffer. But there's a little bit of work going on.
Definitely. And we have a list of draft lists of possible ones that we have planned. You know, I have all the departments keep their 2 cents. And some of it is overkill. You know, we're going to go through that. But I think that list, actually, I just approved one.
Yeah, that was the Board of Adjustment. They bifurcated, so This is for the tire shop office building. So Ben Brooks property.
That's moving. That's the, what we're going to say is on the field, so we have to move this in. That should be, if it's moving. Exactly, go to contract.
All right, sir. As Jess mentioned, I met with Jess and Ms. Majeski this morning. We went over our proposed budget. It seems like we're on track, and that was a big big load off of my plate. That was the first time I did that, so that was a little bit of a challenge for me. My flip phone and my abacus, you know, sometimes a little difficult for me. One of the things that she had previously requested was that the police department include for her all of the monies taken in for a month. So you'll be seeing that in my monthly report as well. I think it was $290.20 last month, so I'll be including that.
Is that gun permits?
Gun permits, people who come in for reports, like 5 cents a page, 10 cents a page. Things of that nature. I'm trying to think. I don't think the handicap permits, they're just checks made out to the state, but things of that nature.
Okay.
We usually don't take in a whole lot of money per month. That's really all I have. Everything's going well.
Okay. Well, now we're up to resolutions. And just one resolution tonight, and that's appointing a bond counsel for the year 2019. And it's Matthew Jessup from, I can never say this.
Manning.
Thank
took
you.
Took me a while.
Man,
it's
Bowman. Scotland, I could do it, Bowman.
I think it's Bowman, yeah. I'm hoping Tuesday starts.
Okay.
I spoke with him. He was very responsive. Sounded like he had a good handle of what they're doing. They are probably the biggest firm in issuing debt in the state.
Good.
So he'll be there for the week for the board. But you know, I got some good stuff that I've been doing. I mean, we do that some fun that can be. Once we get things on track, it's just going to come at the end of the year and look at things that have been marked and all that stuff. So we've talked several times in my way to what we do. So I hope you have time to do that.
It might be a positive change.
Good, good. I mean, it sounds like you guys are all happy.
Yeah, we can do this.
Big firm. Yeah.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Roll call.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Slotwick?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you. And we have a short work session on open space funds. And there are two items. Let me do the easy one, or the smaller one first. And it's a request for, what we'd like to do rather, is to spend about $3,200, if I remember correctly, to clean up tree lines near where the affordable housing will go on the Marukin project. There's a lot of invasives, grapevines, dead trees, dead branches, that sort of thing. And we've gotten a proposal from the farmer who farms the parcel to go ahead and do this for us. It's something we've talked about now for probably about a year. And as I said, it's about $3,200. He has a contract with us, and we do have the money in the Open Space Trust Fund, which is worth something else.
Basically make it look nicer.
Yeah.
Make it look like it's supposed to look.
Keep it heller.
Yeah.
What about the maintenance heller?
I'm not sure whether that's going to be on us or the developer of the project.
If they ever do that, that would be.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is the open space part of four.
Oh, yeah.
We're pushing for a higher percentage to take for maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly maintenance. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we have the bond issue. Not the bond issue. We have the referendum.
And
we moved from 12 and a half.
Yeah, we gave public an 50. Idea that we're going to be using this to maintain it.
Okay. Can I make a motion?
No, we don't.
All right. We could do that. Just to.
He's still got to come and talk to me about a contract.
Well,
we
need some.
We need a contract and then go on the
general. Insurance.
So
you just need a consensus from us to go forward.
Right.
And work.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if everybody's agreeable.
Yes.
All right. Let's leave it at that. You know, it's like the attendance call on a planning board where everybody races to, you know, call absent. All right. The next one is a little bit more of a story. And this is the sort of baseline data required to do a good job in terms of our deer culling, deer management program. And it's a baseline survey for the town. And plus, help me remember, we started out with Professor Kelly around 16,000, if I recall correctly. And we said, it felt a little high. So one of the ideas was we'll do the southern below 78 part of the township this year and the above 78 part next year. And he felt that was not going to give him the data that he wanted. So there's been back and forth, and he decided reducing the sample size, we cut the cost down from about 16 to 11,500, 12,000. The work would be done by a combination of a searchlight survey, you know, from the road, a little bit of drone work, and he intends to use students from RVCC, and he's also willing to go over to North to see if some of the students there might want to be part of this thing. So it's kind of a nice homebrew thing, or, you know, sort of home-baked kind of a proposition. We'll name us as another insured with the requisite insurance. They're looking for an MOA from us so that they can begin to actually start to line everything up and recruit the students and get ready to do it. This is another project you have to do before the foliage comes out. It's kind of hard to do with the leaves in place. I would also say that this begins to feel more like a regional endeavor. Professor Kelly is on the Open Space Committee over in Reddington. We're now going from a hunt a deer on leash land to make money kind of a proposition, and we're moving toward our proposition.
So Reddington is doing this deer study?
Yeah. Well, they're...
Can I ask, though, if they're doing the deer study? I know it would be perfect or accurate, but couldn't we just sort of take their numbers and sort of assume? I mean, I don't know. It would be completely different just right over.
Yeah, you got it.
How many municipalities do this out of Lorraine County? I'm just curious. In Hunterdon, I have no idea. But Princeton does it routinely. But the deer basically stay within about a quarter mile of where they were born.
Okay.
So you can't extrapolate. You can't look at one town and how many they have and then assume that they have the same number in your town. And it's highly localized.
But I mean, so you don't know, like, is it just Reddington and Clinton Township that will be doing it all apartment? Mm-hmm. I mean,
well,
like, I'm trying to get the importance of it.
You can't begin the program until you have a baseline count, because we want to see a reduction in the number of deer first taken.
Because it's not just the total number, but it's also good to know where they're concentrated,
oh, yeah,
so that you know where to focus access and focus your numbers. How many counties do we have in
open space? Last
one.
It was 150 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's right, because we have taxes coming in.
John,
open space has how much? And that budget? Do they have anything in that?
It's not a...
No, I mean, out of the general fund, it's not a very large budget.
No. Yeah. Yeah, it's really all out of the space trust.
When we have a working session like this, mm-hmm, what's the public's involvement for them? Like, people have to just interject?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if people have comments or concerns, sure.
I would say it's probably good to have less come up.
Yeah. Well, and to answer Amy's question, which is where I was going, the other town that has, we know, has done this work is Raritan Township. And Raritan, us, and Reddington all meet on Route 31 down around the Arboretum. And they're also, Reddington and Raritan are just a little behind us in terms of the survey work. Raritan has done some spot surveys, and now they're moving to do the same thing that we're undertaking. So we'll have the three largest townships in the county kind of working together with us, or working in unison, I should say. And Kelly is going to do the same sort of survey work.
I guess my question would be, the survey is going to be based on a portion of Clinton Township, but not the whole.
Virtually all of it.
So it'll be on all of it. How often does it need to be refreshed for you to go? You're going to have to do a similar survey, I would imagine, at some point in the future to determine.
The idea is three to 5 years in the future. You know, get whatever program started on the deer management, have the study, where are the hot spots, try to work the hot spots, and 3 to 5 years, see where you're at.
See if it's successful.
Well, or if you're making progress. You know, I don't think we're ever going to be successful.
Sure.
I think it's making progress. For example, Berners Township, I don't know if I mentioned it before, they started over 10 years ago. They were around 80 deer per acre. They're now to 50 after 10 years, and they're still trying to get down to below 20. So it's you're never going to be successful, if you will. You're just trying to make it better. And the other part of it is some of the farming. It's only the last few weeks that I've started to see some of the real numbers of how much the deer damage is to the farmers. And many of the farmers are just going to be giving up property and not farming it, and now it's becoming a Russian olive garden. So, you know, to try to help the economics of the community, to try to keep the farmers somewhat in business, that they got a crop that is productive, that's part of the whole scheme too. I know the Farm Bureau is trying to work on it, but I'm going to try to get a little more definitive numbers of what is the impact. At one time, I had heard something like 20% of the crops were being taken by the deer. From some of the numbers I've seen a couple of weeks ago, it's even higher than that. It's scary.
As I can tell you, when we did that sort of thing at Merck, they ate about 30% of the crops. And there it didn't matter because it was about real estate and taxes. But, you know, at the end of the day, we ended up paying the farmer to farm.
Right.
And he ended up using the average, you know, sort of a number of years of corn per acre, or bushels per acre, I guess it is. He never was able to submit, you know, a real number of what he got out of it.
Right.
So there's a lot of damage.
And getting back to the point about Reddington versus Raritan, even within Clinton Township, the Marukian property versus the Prosak property versus the Hackett's Preserve property, there's a big difference in the amount of deer and the forest damage when you look at these various areas. And, yeah, the deer stay within a square mile generally. And so, yeah, it's a big difference from the other side of Cushetunk to our backyard here. It's a big difference.
So this study, the data collected and the analysis of that data, mm-hmm. is going to aid us in deciding how to manage this problem.
Correct.
Now, who's going to physically do the management? How's that plan going to be? Who's going to develop that plan? Who's going to manage it?
Open space with some help from Jesse and Trisha. And we had to do this first because we have to get it taken care of before everything, like, you know, cuts out.
But the people physically doing the management, meaning people shooting, shouldn't they be part of this process? To tell the people doing the study, this is the kind of data we'd like?
No, the professor is the guy that is the data guy.
He's counting the deer. The
right.
Are going to kill them.
Right.
The report does how many they kill. That's how we find out.
Yeah.
Look at the hunter going.
Why is it good?
You can tell us how much we killed, but without knowing what your overall numbers are, it's going to be somewhat meaningless.
You need the survey in order to dial up, dial back, to fine-tune.
To ratchet the goals. Mm-hmm. Do we try to have the hunter take 10, 15, 20 deer a season, or is 5 going to be enough?
You know, and where you want to focus your effort.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you know, granted, initially we're only going after a few open space properties, but part of this also effort would be to try to encourage the preserve farms to be part of the program. Some of the other large landowners, Exxon, unfortunately, you know, try them get them involved in the program, because without some of these larger landowners involved, you know, it's not going to work well.
Yeah. So the program is an ecology-based program. So you need to understand where you're beginning, so you can figure out 3 years, 4 years, 5 years from now. Have we kept pace? You know, are we running in place, or are we seeing a decrease? And that'll tell us, do we need to increase the number of hunters and parcels and all that sort of thing. I mean, I would envision less, correct me if I'm wrong, we're going to start actually constructing the program shortly and be ready, say, by the middle of the summer at least with a pretty good plan. I would anticipate we would be asking for somewhere around, say, $7,500 to butcher the deer, 100 deer at $75 a head, probably during the summer. So there's more money involved in making this happen.
And, but again, it's the open space budget. It's not the general budget.
With 100 head of deer, they don't get to keep it?
Oh, sure, they can get to keep it, but
why are we paying the butcher?
For the excess.
We don't want 100 to take 2 deer or 4 deer. We want them to take a lot of deer, more than we can use.
It's a burden for them to have to pay that themselves.
Yeah.
Beyond a certain number, yes.
It goes to a food bank.
I mean, it's, if we're not covering the processing costs, I'd ask for the national tax. It's only so many deer a hunter can,
right,
not just pay for, but, you know, consume.
We'll have to figure out how to get up front.
Yeah.
If Jay wants to get six and freeze, he should be able to get 6 and freeze.
Oh, sure.
Right. Yeah. Personal use has got to get put in here. Well, that not all of these end up into the food bank system. But in order to reach the greater goal, there's going to have to be some that end up in the food bank system.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, just a wet finger in the wind kind of a number.
Are there any other expenses anticipated every year?
Well, whatever the cost is to administer it, the hunters, I don't know if you set a figure yet, the hunters are going to be putting in $50 for permit for the town. Okay, yeah. Some municipalities have a processing fee or something that you actually bring in a little bit of revenue.
To offset.
Yeah. But otherwise, there's, you know,
not a lot of
cool. Is there any repeat with the study that the professor already did? I mean, I remember sitting in this room hearing that we have so many deer per square mile already. I mean, I have the report on my computer, which led us to know that we have a major deer problem, right? Okay, we know we have a problem. This study is not there to tell us we have a problem. It's not there, according to you guys, to tell us, you know, anything else. I don't get
the study that was handed about. Professor Kelly was from Raritan Township.
Right. He did spot studies in Raritan.
Yeah.
There's been no study in our town.
Right, but we know we have a problem with outdoor study. He told us that.
Right.
Yeah, and even Mike Aversa last.
Right.
And you had some numbers for us.
Well, we have our anecdotal numbers.
Exactly.
Or hiking the 5K trail across the road. But the idea is to have a more scientific, educated, that it's not based on anecdotes.
I guess the question is, could you run the program without the certain?
Probably.
Yeah, that's exactly my question. And save the $12,000 for after we do it for a year.
But you don't know where you come from.
Where you start.
You don't.
And I doubt if we're so well populated, we're going to be.
And kind of, you do know where you come from, because if we're paying all this money to butcher the deer, and we pay for 300 deer, well, that's 300 more than you would have killed without the program.
But you have no idea. The program is supposed to be, you know, it was discussed, and I thought agreed, we were actually going to have a scientific view of this. We were going to look at the number of deer that we actually had, and then X number of years down the road, take another measurement, probably about the same cost, and understand, do we open up more territories? Do we harvest more deer? Are they continuing to increase? Have we sort of, you know, stopped the curve at a certain number as we're making progress?
All right, Les, are you envisioning using the data from the survey and the delta to lure those other preserved properties?
Just
to show them the benefits and say, here,
absolutely.
Because
in order to try to get the private owners involved, we got to have some better proof than our anecdotes.
Don't a lot of the open space farmers or property owners will be allowed hunting now?
They may or may not. But again, in order to make an impact to get from the 40 or 80 deer to 20, you need to do more than the recreational hunting of taking 2 or 3 deer a year. You need to be taking 10, 15, 20 deer a year.
What if the data... Go ahead.
I'm Paul Schreck. I'm a resident. I also own an environmental firm in Gladstone, which is ecological restoration, including natural resources like this. So obviously, I'm interested. I'm also a hunter in the community. I live over on the Grand Valley Reservoir, where you're crawling over our home. But I would encourage the body to conduct a baseline study for sure. I think that's money well spent. How you prepare and monitor and manage a program without a base. But in my view, that would be a question. I would encourage that. I do have questions about, is the program, it sounds like there's money available for this. Is there a management program and protocols for that going forward, i.e. how do we measure success and failure? And is this program, is it fitting a bigger picture? Are we consulting with other natural resource managers, DEP, Fish and Wildlife? And how do we measure it going forward? Our money is allocated for consultants to do that. Does the college continue that? Is there an annual review or report that, you know, the body or the public or anyone could review?
I would say there will be. First of all, the DEP was involved. He went in from that agency. We're up here when we had a first work session on this, and they're eager to be further involved. There's a feeling, and I've heard it from you and Rich both, that it could be a model program for the state. They're getting in really as a baseline, if you will, before anything has been done. We haven't designed the protocols yet. That's work that we can do between now and, say, midsummer. The professor has, a plan of study and sampling that he can then replicate 3 years, 5 years down the road, and to give us an idea of, are we making any progress forward? Has anything changed? The real work of this, how to recruit the hunters, what the goals are, et cetera, et cetera, that's going to happen over the next 5 to 6 months.
Does the DEP have and support programs like this in other regions or counties?
There is a model ordinance from Plainsboro that they brought up thinking that would be Plainsboro is close enough to us from a rural city perspective where they felt this was a new ordinance that had passed legal scrutiny, and it seemed like the two townships were close enough that this would make some sense. Our attorney, Kershka, is the township attorney, the town attorney for Princeton, who has a completely different kind of a program, sharpshooters, for instance. That's, I think, population
density. Actually, we're going to do a combination.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. We have hunters who basically are trying to rely on more and more, and then but we do have sharpshooters who do the cleanup because Princeton is so densely populated that it's very difficult to get hunter access everywhere that you need.
And if you go into the sharpshooters kind of thing, I don't know what the cost is now, but at one time it was around $300 a deer.
That was always, that's a very misleading number because we don't pay by the deer.
Oh.
So the people who say that, it's like they're looking at how much we paid and then how much we took in a given year.
Yeah.
Of course, it varies wildly from year to year. But we pay by the man hour, not by the number of deer.
Well, the bottom line, it's a lot more money that way. Then if you could try to get...
No, I think this is, and even from Princeton's perspective, this is much better.
Right.
And where you can do it, it's just, you've got a pretty urban setting.
Right.
Your options are much more limited, but the managed hunts, what you're comfortable with here, I think they...
Because when you look at the fish and game... there are ways of doing depredation hunts, very specific depredation hunts. The ones that happen, the farmer ones that are in June, July time frame, the farmers have to show proof of loss, and it's rather a good-sized hurdle to get over, and most of those deer are shot and buried because of the time of year.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get to be used productively. Then there's other areas that that fall in after the February 15th date that are so-called management hunts. They kind of fall under that same depredation kind of program. Those can get donated into the food bank system. But really, we're trying to keep it in the September to February time frame with licensed hunters more or less under the existing hunting rules, just trying to increase the quantities. The state right now, from September through February, you can take at least one doe a day for the entire period. Some parts of a season you can take two a day. So the quantity is possible during the regular hunting season, and that's really to try and encouragement of getting it in the regular hunting season so that the venison can be used productively.
Sure. I would just encourage if we're going to go down this road of formal study, that perhaps as part of the contract, commercial terms, or something, that there's a report, possibly again by the Earth's Word, if you hire someone else, consultant or something, that kind of reports to the bodies to say, here's the data we got. Here's the basis of our new, here's the management plan. Here's the basis, here's how we're going to measure it kind of year to year. So we're going to review it, report it back. In my experience, these things are kind of open-ended. And then also try to involve as many stakeholders as you can formally, which is perhaps the DEP or you may contact the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, whoever's got a piece of this management, and that they're involved as much as you can. So we're not...
Yeah.
As a municipality kind of...
I think they've given us some good free consulting, and now it's sort of the ball is in our court to figure out exactly how the plan is going to work. But clearly, there needs to be data that was kept, that can be used in the future, how many deer came over what parcel, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we'll design all that. That's. But again, you got to know where you start in terms of population. I mean, I'm an engineer. What can I tell you? You got to know what you start with. You got to know how many were taken out, and did the population go up or down, and where did it go up or down in those sites.
Right. And then what is that analysis? Who does that analysis annually?
Yeah.
And what is our decision-making process to year, and how is it reported?
Yet to be determined, but it's either going to be open space or the professor. I would think open space. It doesn't seem like a complicated analysis to me. But it's early days. Maybe I'm taking it too lightly. We'll find out as we can put it down this path.
Because the other part of, I guess, why we're bringing it up now is just because of the time sensitivity.
Right.
With Professor Kelly, if we don't get on his dance card, it's liable to get booked up very quickly. Because this technology and this service is going to get picked up by other municipalities very quickly.
Do you anticipate other municipalities
hard
in doing what he could? Yeah.
Yeah, Reddit. Well, we already know that, but I mean, there's more municipalities.
I mean, those are the ones Morris has got issues, Somerset's got issues, Mercer's got issues.
So this is a start, and then we have the bureaucratic work coming next. Arguing about, it'll be a debate about how many deer, what sets, and all that kind of stuff. But we know we have to. If we're going to actually do something constructive this year, we should do a survey before the plants deter us from that. Any more questions or discussion? No, just getting a sense of the body.
Coming back to you for, there's going to be a contract, you're going to have to approve it, probably back out of this.
Okay. Contract and insurance and all that sort of thing. Okay. But at least we can do an MOA with the good professor and get him started so we can begin to get resources and time. There wouldn't be a financial commitment as part of that, but at least he knows we're serious and committed.
And I guess the resolution that came to that would
Yeah, all of this stuff is in our open space.
And when is that
You know, unless there's some bureaucratic snafu that is not apparent or not obvious.
As long as I have the information we need.
Yeah. We have a quote, we can get the insurance, we have the MOA.
I haven't seen
the mail. Yeah, it was in the mail. Well, let me take it back. I think it was, but I'm not sure.
No, whatever the attachments that Rich sent to me did not come through. Yes, this was not attached.
Okay.
Who prepares that?
Pardon?
Who prepares that MOA? Do we do, or?
They have a standard one from the college.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. Pardon? There's a lot of paperwork flying around in open space, so pardon me if I didn't get it out to everybody.
And I guess we'll go on record. The reason it's coming from open space is so by decreasing the deer population, we increase the health of our forests.
Correct. Yeah, the health of the forest, to some degree. And to some degree, the health of the community with the deer ticks and all that. And to continue to make farming our open space.
It's not open space dollars. Open space dollars ask for open space. So it's really to improve the just health of the forest.
That's the
right. Prime. The ancillary benefit is the ticks and that photoactive.
Correct. But it's.
Yes.
What I was. I have to say another open space element is the out of my mind.
Well, you're saying farmland, so you're talking about preserved open space.
We farm preserved open space. If the deer eat everything, there's no motivation on the part of the farmer to come out and do that. And like Les said, it becomes a Dawn Olive Garden.
Yeah, which Klukas has already indicated that he may give up some portion of farming Windy Acres unless the deer issue gets improved.
So it's having an economic impact, too, now.
Yeah.
He's farming that with hay, right?
No, and he had beans there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And about two-thirds of it he didn't even harvest this year.
But where else is he going to farm? I mean, you're from there.
Well, you give it up.
What he's saying is that he
can't make money.
He spends money to farm there, but I think he also pays us to farm. No?
Oh, free farm.
Aren't there parcels that we bid out for?
There
were.
Remember it. At dear old Merck, we farmed about 500 acres, and we paid the. We had to pay them to farm it because they weren't making any money on what was left. So, and we're coming to that point.
You're right.
As you say, at Windy Acres.
Yeah. So. With the maintenance at Marukin and Calfell here, who do we need to do anything to get Scott Hender? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Okay, we're up to the adoption of an ordinance, and I'll read it by title. This is Ordinance Number 1128-19, an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, revising Development Application Checklist Number 1 and amending Chapter 165 Land Use Regulations of the Code of the Township of Clinton. This is an ordinance that basically brings us up to date with the requirements of our status with the Highlands. It includes a stipulation that the Highlands gets a look at development applications before we proceed to the planning board. It's a pretty simple kind of a thing. It was reviewed for compliance with the master plan at the last planning board meeting, and it was found to be found to be consistent as opposed to not inconsistent with the master plan. So are there any questions from council? In that case, do I need to make a motion?
Open the public hearing.
Let's open the public hearing. It's about 2 minutes after 8. Are there any comments from the public? Hearing and seeing no comments from the public, may I have a motion to close the public hearing? I never get this right. All right, I'll close the public hearing then. And so...
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution of our ordinance.
Okay.
Second.
Amy? Okay, Mark's got the second. And roll call.
Councilman Strauss.
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski.
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick.
Yes.
Council President Roy.
Yes.
Mayor Hicks.
Yes, thank you. One last public comment period. The public singular is not making any comments.
Going to backtrack, and I'm going to move to pay the bills.
Oh, son of a gun. I saw the vouchers on the... But I didn't see the vouchers on the stuff I got at home. So.
Okay.
You don't know vouchers.
I didn't get vouchers.
I saw it on the agenda.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, sometimes when there's a horde of attachments, it's easy to miss them.
You can't look.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, the grand total is $6.119 million, and doesn't look like anything unusual. Board of Ed, North Hunterdon, and typical operating numbers. So. Okay. So,
I'll maintain my motion to pay the bills.
All right, I'll second the motion.
Councilman Strauss?
I need a chance to see you guys.
Oh.
Based on Brian's cursory review?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switley?
Okay.
Council President Roy?
Yes.
And Mayor Hicks?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, next item is an executive session, and while we're doing it is on the agenda, so I needn't read the thing. So, shall we adjourn the regular meeting and get ourselves organized for anything? Oh, I'm all right. Can I have a motion to go? Okay.
Second.
All those in favor? Or do we need a roll call?
Wait, who went first, Mark?
Yeah.
No, we don't need a roll call.
Okay.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Okay. 8:22, and we've come out of executive session. Could I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you.